Let me do this. So, Jenny, you stay. Jenny, you stay right where you are, because I'm going to talk to you first. So, for those of you that that this is your first call of the Power Agent call, I want to welcome you. Welcome everybody. Especially the new power agents. We have people all over the world that actually call in during these calls. So I just want to remind people of a few of the ground rules. First of all, we are recording the call, and then we're going to take this call and we're going to post it on the Power Program website so you can go back and listen to it if I say something or if I do some dialogue and you want to listen to it again, it'll be there for you. The other thing is if you decide for some reason to put us on, you know, you need to step away from the call, do not use the hold button on your office phone if you're calling from the office, because we're going to just, everybody's going to hear the hold stuff, and that's going to mess up the call. If you're on a speakerphone, you hit *6, and that'll mute you so we have a better call. Like right now, it sounds perfect, so no one has to do anything. If you want to ask me some questions, which I really want you to do on this call, is you hit *6 a second time, and that will unmute you. And then when you want to mute yourself, you hit *6 again. So you go back and forth by using *6 to mute and unmute. So now here's the purpose of the call. Let me just say this, especially for people it's the first time, is there's basically three things that we do. First thing that we do, and I'm going to change the order of this, but normally what we do is we go through the magazine that's put on the website every month. So when you go to thepowerprogram.com and after you log in with your username and password, then you'll be able to see stuff that the normal public can't see. And if you go, and it'll be right there on the homepage after you log in is where the magazine is. So I go through some of the pages in the magazine to chat with you about that. And then the next thing, part of the call, is that, you know, this is really an opportunity for you to ask me any questions that you have about your business, any challenges you're having. You need some dialogue, objection handling, anything like that. This is your opportunity to talk to me, for me to coach you on that thing. So I encourage you to do that. And we're going to start with that in just a second. The last thing is I'm going to, if whatever time we have left over, if we do, I'm going to give you some ideas on what you need to do for your business as a general, like here's some ideas, plans, dialogues, and stuff like that. So let me first, before I get to the magazine, I want to really make sure that I help people as best as I can on this call. So, Janet, you're still with me, yes?
Yes, I am.
All right, so, Janet, let me ask you a question. Is there anything that you're going, this, by the way, this question is for everybody on the call. I just want to start with Janet real quick. Is there anything that you're challenged with, anything that you want to deal, you know, that you'd like to ask me to give you some advice or coaching on?
I don't think so. I just remember what Steve Murray said yesterday, that mindset and skill set are the most important factors that agents and brokers can work on right now, and because that will give you production quality of your production.
Now, why did he say, is that something that's just important all the time in his opinion, or is right now, is that more important than ever? And if right now is, why do you say that?
He related it to all the 500 largest real estate firms in the U.S. and the fact that, you know, many of them, 20%, did not make it through the recession. And we're still not out of the recession, but things are coming along. So he said the best thing you can do as an agent or broker is to improve mindset and skill set.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah, I think attitude's extremely important because, you know, if we want to impact the results in our business or in our life even, you know, let's just look at the new year. I think most of you know that I do videos several times a week on Facebook, and I post, and they're like 2 or 3 minute long motivational moments. And one of the things I said on my video, I think it was this week or last week, is that, you know, one of the most common New Year's resolutions that I've seen on Facebook is people wanting to lose weight. Seems like after the holidays, people are like, okay, I need to do this. And in order for you to really persevere with that, you know, losing weight, getting healthy, whatever the case is, there really has to be that commitment to that project or to that end result, which is the mindset. Because as you start to implement, let's say, a diet or to work out and be healthy, you know, you're going to be confronted with a lot of stuff. You're going to be confronted with your internal conversation that I don't want to, I don't feel like it, this is uncomfortable. Then there's fitting it in logistically. You know, you have all this stuff to do in your day-to-day business, personal life, your business life, and then you got to try and squeeze in, you know, working out or something, which is not the norm. So there's a lot of things that there's walls that we hit. And the only way you get through that, the only way you pass through that is your attitude, your mindset, which really stems from what you're committed to. So the first thing that has to happen, if you want to impact your results, it's based on the actions that you take. And the actions you take are based on what you're committed to, even when you don't feel like it. So I totally agree with that. I think mindset's crucially important. Okay, listen, that was really great, Janet. Is there anything else that you walked away from Steve's session that helped you?
No, I think that was probably, that was probably the gist of it. But he said, do have a plan, have an intentional plan. He said all of these companies that succeeded in the recession had a very intentional plan for developing business, and they developed much stronger relationships with their customers and their agents, because I'm talking as a broker now, okay, because that's what I really am, and they acted very strategically. Those were the three things that they did to achieve.
All right, very cool. So mindset, have a plan, and make sure you stay in touch with your customers. That's very cool. Very good. Great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, Janet, how many? What's the name of your company?
I am formerly RE/MAX Champions, and now I have converted to Real Estate Champions, privately owned.
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay. And how many agents do you currently have right now?
I don't have any right now because I'm brand new. I switched over, so I'm brand new.
All right, well, congratulations with that, and are you excited?
Yeah, it's going to be a great year. It is already great.
Good. All right, well, super. All right,
thank you.
Janet, you're welcome. Does anybody else on the call have a question about something that you need help specifically with that you want to ask me or to talk about? If you do, hit *6 if you've muted yourself so you can unmute yourself. Does anybody have anything specific that you want to ask me? This will be your opportunity to do so. Usually people are very shy at this point. All right. So everybody's going to be quiet. Janet, this may be the Janet and Daryl show right now with you and I, okay? I may start to use you. Listen, Janet, I'm going to ask you this. Are you, because this is going to be part of what I want to talk about on the call, are you using how are you getting your listings? So I know you're starting new now again, and so you're going to rebuild your business. Is part of your plan to go for listings?
Well, of course, and I've always done expired listings for like 20 plus years, so I'll continue with that.
And you've had a lot of success with that. When you've done pretty well, how many listings would you say that you got from that area?
Practically all my listings come from that. I'm really not that great with my past customers because I sort of focus in on the present, looking for new business. So, you know, most of my business, but I do get referrals from my past, yes.
Okay. All right. Good. And how do you get into the FSBOs? How do you schedule?
No, not FSBOs. I do expires. Call them.
Expires. I meant expires, yes.
Yeah, I just call them from Red X. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're using Red X, which is good. For those of you that aren't familiar with this, this is something that you want to consider. Red X is an incredible company. They've got a great system where they email you. Well, they don't email you, but you use their software and you download every day the FSBOs and expireds that are out there. They scour them for you, so you don't have to do all the research trying to find them. And I think they are the best company. There's one other company out there. I'm not even going to mention their name because they are nothing compared to what Red X is. They really have cornered the market. They're kind of like the top producer when it comes to database top producers. They cornered the market in real estate. So Red X is kind of like that. How long have you been using them, Janet? credit?
Oh, years. I used to do it just for my multiple listing system, but then it got too intensive type of work looking up phone numbers. So I switched over to Red X maybe 3 or 4 years ago. 4 years ago, something like that.
I don't know if they had it back then. I don't know if you're aware of it, but they also have where you can download not just the expireds and the FSBOs, but they have the pre-foreclosures, too. Are you aware of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have that.
All right, good. So, all right, great. Well, we'll talk about the FSBOs and expireds. Let me go through the magazine first. If you're not in front of your computer and you don't have the magazine in front of you, then just make maybe notes, mental notes, or write it down of the pages that I'm going to tell you about. So in the magazine, the first part is a transcription of our power agent who she's a real fan. Her name's Deborah. She's done extremely well. Her business was like really down and out. She took my live training course. She exploded in her production. Now she's a manager at Keller Williams, which they call them team leaders, and she's just on fire. So she is the person that we interviewed this month. She had some great stuff to share. So you have the audio CD that's mailed to you based on the address that we have, and also the transcription. That's the first part of the magazine. Now, at page 25 in the magazine, what I gave you was a business plan, but this business plan that I gave you is several pages. It goes from page 25 to 36, so there's a lot of pages, 11 pages. And really what it is it's more of a life plan. It talks about what you're committed to, what your passions, what's important to you. So it's not just for real estate, and it's actually called your life business plan. So if you haven't worked on something as far as what you're going to do this year, you should take the time to sit down and go through this. It's going to take you probably about 30 minutes, but it's very powerful business plan. And by the way, let's just talk about the real estate specific piece. And I'm going to echo what Steve Murray said about having a plan. Now, going into this, we're already into the first quarter of the new year. We've had the elections over. We've had the fiscal cliff has been averted. We've had another year extension on the Mortgage Forgiveness Act. So I think there's a bit of a sigh where the stress of all of these things is being temporarily resolved for people. So the point is that a lot of buyers and sellers have been waiting for these things, waiting for the election, waiting for the fiscal cliff question. And so I think most nationally, we're going to see a lot of good things happen in a lot of markets. So it's really important in the first quarter, because we don't know what's going to happen in the second quarter. There's still some stuff with the fiscal cliff thing that's going to come up in 2 months, and we don't know what's going to happen to the Mortgage Forgiveness Act. So as the year progresses, we might see a dip in interest. We may see a dip in sales. We may see a dip in prices, and we may not. But the best thing for us to do is to hope for the best but plan for the worst. And so if the worst-case scenario is we're going to see an increase in activity in this first quarter, it's really important that you put on the steam, like you work as hard as you can in these next 3 months. And so you should take the time to sit down and really look at what do you want to make sure that you have happen in the next 90 days. You know, how much listings do you want to have in place listed with you? What source are they going to come from? How are you going to schedule your time in building your listing inventory? Even your past clients, like Janet, you said, you know, you haven't been really working your past clients as much because you focus on the present, which, by the way, that was also how I worked, which is maybe a strength and a weakness at the same time, you know, because expireds are, once you're getting the groove and you know how to work them, they're kind of fun. They're much easier than FSBOs, but we're probably missing out on some referral business that we should be working. So for you, Janet, part of your 90-day plan might be to take care of that, to have some kind of system that's going to just automatic, with very little effort, stay in touch with your past clients. Okay. So, all right. So that's it. By the way, Janet, have you worked on your plan for this year?
I'm not a very good planner.
All right. Well, that's perfect, because let me just and really thank you for being so honest about it. I got to be honest with you, too. I am not, when it comes from running a business, I am not really good at setting milestones, setting a whole year thing. I'm very expressive. You know, I'm just almost on the artistic side, you know. So, but I think what helps me, and I don't know if this will help you, is that I will write down, you know, if every quarter, here is like just five or six major things that I want to make sure that I accomplish in the next 90 days. And so I'm not doing a whole huge business plan. I'm just having five or six things that inspire me. I write those things down. I hang them up in front of me. And very simple technique, but it helps me stay focused on what's really important. Okay? All right, now, back to the magazine. On page 37, what you're going to see in the magazine is these little signs. This is an old technique that builders used to do when they would have when they would point out any kind of features about the property or any things that you want to make sure that the if somebody's coming through showing the house, for example, don't lock this particular – there's a sign in the magazine that says don't lock this door, or please lock only the deadbolt, or leave this door open. Please make sure the cats are stay inside. So you may want to create these little feature easel cards around some of your properties, so when people are showing it, especially at a public open house. On page 38, I really love this technique. If you go on a listing appointment where they have children, what this is there's two pages. One page, it's actually two pieces on one page, sorry. The top of it says, this certificate is awarded to blank in recognition of all your efforts to help us sell your home by preparing it so well for showings. This is a little certificate that you will put the child's name in there, letting them know that, hey, listen, because you're going to be like my little assistant and trying to sell the house, it's really important that you help mommy and daddy, help tidy up the house whenever the house is being shown. Obviously, you don't do this if the child is 2 years old, but if the child is, you know, preteen or in their low teens, this might be a fun little thing that you give them. And then in addition to that, what this agent did, her name's Jan, she actually created a children's listing agreement. And it's, I just love it. It's so cute. It just has three bullets on there. It says, number one is, I know that our parents are asking Jan from Patterson Schwartz to sell our house. Number two, I know that Jan and her team are going to work hard to find a family to buy our house, a family that will love our house as much as we do. Number three, I'll be on Jan's team too. I will help the team by doing the following things: making my bed in the morning, picking up my toys, turning on the lights when people come to see our house, and help mommy and daddy keep the house neat and tidy. Then the child signs the listing agreement. Jan, the agent, signs the listing agreement. There's so many great things about this one page on page 38. First of all, it's a great rapport builder. If you go into a listing appointment and you know they have children and you explain this to the homeowner, this is one of the things that I do with my clients that have children such as yours. Like, I would introduce this before they even committed to listing the house with you. And just read through it and show them. Here, what's going to happen is the parents are going to think, wow, that is so cute, that is so adorable. You know, they say that the quickest way to a man's heart is through his stomach, and I like to say the quickest way to a parent's heart is through the children. So I think this is a great rapport builder. It's a great icebreaker, and, of course, it is just great to have. The other part that's great about it is for children that are moving, it sometimes can be a traumatic experience, even at a very young age, because all they know is that home that they were in, their friends, their family, they may be nervous. So I know from personal experience that even at the youngest age, you would think the child wouldn't get concerned about moving from their home. It does exist for them. So this kind of makes it a game for them that they're like an assistant realtor to you. And you know, just anyway, I just can't say enough about page 38. 39. 39 is a postcard. It's a big card, actually. There's a front and back to it. And what this team does from Smythe Kramer is that any time that they would show one of the listings of of anybody's, whether it was their listing, whether it was another agent's listing, they would leave this postcard. On the front of it, it had their image and information. On the back of it, it had, you know, thank you for making it possible to view your home today. And then there's boxes that the agent would check. We were showing it to a qualified buyer. We were showing it to a relocating transferee. You know, it was a second showing, great news. Buyer has no house to sell. Buyer may wish to view it again. So it's a little like feedback card after showing a listing. Now, there's a couple of great things about this. Number one is it makes you stand out. If you show a listing, how many times has a homeowner called the listing agent after every single showing because the homeowner is hungry for that information and feedback about what did the buyers think about my house? So what this postcard does, it helps stop those types of calls. So when it's your listing, these postcards are pretty awesome. The second thing is if it's another agent's listing, it does promote you. And some agents may not like you doing this because they know what you're doing, that it's a form of self-promotion for you. Here's my opinion on that. I think it's still good feedback. I think that helps the listing agent. I think that's still good. But if an agent doesn't like it and they make the call to you and say, hey, Daryl, I know that you left this postcard with my clients. I don't like that you do that. Please don't do that again. Then I would stop doing it there. But I would rather beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. The last thing on this postcard, what's really great about it, is if you showed this on a listing appointment. Again, this is another great icebreaker. This is another great thing to show a homeowner how you're different. And when you go on expireds especially, and Janet, I'm sure you would agree with me on this, the number one complaint that homeowners had about the agent that they were listed with before is they didn't get really good feedback on a regular basis. And so if you show an expired on the listing appointment, and you show them this is one of the things that you do with your listings when you show the house, it'll show the homeowner that you've got a great system, you care about them. So a lot of great things about it. Next page, 40. On this page, there's two postcards that you can send out to your current listing, which is one postcard is garage sale. I'm just going to read the first paragraph. I'm not going to go through the whole postcard because it's there for you on the website. But it says, moving time is a great time to clean up the house and clean out the closets. You'll have less to move, and you'll be off to a fresh start in your new home. So this postcard basically explains to a homeowner, if there was any time for you to clean out your closet, now's the time while you're getting, you know, while you're trying to sell your house, because once you sell, you're going to have to move this stuff, so you might as well clear it out now. That also makes the house more showable, makes it look better when things are just cleaned up. The second postcard says, if you ever plan on going out of town for several days, please let me know how I can reach you and how I can manage your listing. The other thing I want to say here, too, about page 40 is that one of the important things that we need to do with our current listings is give them an update on a regular basis on all the hard work that we're doing to try and sell the house. You know, once again, if you ever have one of those unusual situations where you have an offer that's less than the asking price, and that's a joke, unusual offer, but situation. But when you bring that offer that's less than the asking price, if the homeowner feels like you haven't worked hard to try and sell their home, they're going to start to fight you on the offer. They're going to say the offer is not enough money. They're going to fight you on your commission. They may want you to renegotiate your commission. If they're going to take less, then you should take less, et cetera, et cetera. And all of these battles occur because the homeowner didn't feel while the house is being listed that the agent wasn't working hard to sell the property. Now, the truth is we all, you know, I think any of us on this call, when you have a listing, you're committed to the house selling. You're working hard to do it. The problem is you're not telling the homeowner about all the hard work you're doing. They don't see what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. So one of the CDs that we have that I make available at the seminars is How to Get Your Listing Sold, and there's a series of letters that you can send to a homeowner every 2 weeks to give them an update as to what you just did. you know, but if you didn't have that product or you didn't implement it, I'm going to give you even a simple, this would be the second best thing to do. And that is if you use one of Microsoft's softwares, you know, whether it's the publisher one or Microsoft Word, and you print it out, you know, a calendar, you know, a 30-day calendar. And then on that calendar, you hand wrote on each one of the days where you did something in relationship to that listing. For example, you placed an ad in the paper, you did an open house, the broker's open house, you did a public open house, even brought it up. You brought up that listing in a conversation to some other agents. You called for feedback. Anything that you did to help market that property, you write it on this calendar. And then you send that calendar for the month to your seller. So every month you're sending them a marketing calendar that shows what you've done the last 30 days. To me, that's a great way to stay in communication with your clients. It's simple, it's easy, it's valuable, and it shows them that you're working for them. Okay, page 41 is just a flyer that you can send to your sellers to leave on the refrigerator, which shows about what the utilities cost to own that home. That way buyers, if they have a question about that, they can see it. Some MLSs, the agents put that information in there, which is even better. I love page 42. 42 is a flyer that says how to prepare for a showing in 10 minutes or less. And then it lists these 10 ideas on what a homeowner can do really quick. You know, run a quick vacuum, turn on the lights, make the beds. There's just 10 things that a homeowner, it's like a little checklist. And I love this flyer, and here's how you can use this flyer for a couple of ways. Number one is you can simply mail it to your current sellers. Once you get the listing, go back to the office, you input it into the computer. You should send them a thank you letter for hiring you and give them this flyer with that letter saying, here's just some tips that if you ever get showing last-minute notice, here's some ideas. Another way you can use this flyer is, again, as another icebreaker on a listing appointment. You know what, I hope that if one of the things that you get out of this is that anything that you do to market a property that's unique, that's different than what a homeowner can do on their own, you should have it in your listing book. You know, one of the mistakes I think that we make is we go on a listing appointment and we talk about and we focus more on how great our company is or how great what you do is. But if you're not different from what a homeowner thinks that they can do themselves, like a homeowner thinks that, well, I can do an open house for the public. I can put an ad on the Internet. I can put an ad on Craigslist. I can make my own flyer. I can take my own photos. My house is special. People are going to love my house. So they have this mentality that they can do this stuff themselves. What's really important is to show a homeowner the things that they can't do that makes you kind of unique, that helps you stand out. So anyway, this page 42 is just a simple little thing that does that. Page 43 is something I've seen done pretty well, which is to build relationship with the community. Now, this is not a it's going to be hard to track whether you're going to get listing leads from this particular idea. But it is great to build relationship with your community. And what this one pizzeria did called Rococo, am I saying that right? Rococo. It's a pizzeria, and I don't remember where I picked this up from. I was in a pizzeria. I thought it was great. I saw it at the pizzeria. It was a Valentine's coloring contest where the kids basically colored in this flyer, and you'll see it in the magazine. And then they could bring it back to the pizzeria, or they can mail it in. And then the kids got a reward for it. So it's just a little coloring contest for kids for the neighborhood. I like that idea. Page 43. There's a lot of stuff in this magazine. I got two more things, and then we're going to talk about FSBOs and expired. On page 44 is something I put together called the Home Selling Probability Checklist. And I would explain to a homeowner, this is a checklist that you have for them, that the more items that they have on this list, it increases the probability of their house selling. So 0 to 40 points, it's possible the house will sell. 41 to 70, it's probable. 71 to 90 is most certainly. And 91 to 100 points, is absolute. And it goes through, let me give you for example, if they list it at the recommended list price that you tell them, that's 20 points. If they do any kind of creative financing somehow, if they contribute to that, that's 10 points. A yard sign is 10 points. Easy access, 10, higher commission, the rest are 10. Higher commission, a home protection plan, cleaning the house, no clutter, leaving any extras that aren't normal, whether it's a special type of appliance or furniture, and listed at the agent's length of time, meaning the amount of time that you want to list the property for. So if the homeowner gave you all of these things, they listed at your price, they did it at a higher commission, easy access, blah, 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 that'd be 100 points, and the probability of the house selling is is most likely. Now, what I did with this and how I created it is I wanted you to get a higher list price. Because if the homeowner agreed to everything, higher commission, creative financing, yard sign, da-da-da-da, all of that still would only equal 80 points. So listing it at your price that you recommend, that's 20 points, and that pushes them over the top. What I recommend that you do is role play this a couple of times with maybe another agent in your office, page 44, because I know from a lot of us, when you start getting into numbers and math, sometimes that can throw you. The last thing in the magazine, page 45, this is a great letter to sell out, to send out to FSBOs, to send out to expire, to send out to anybody. But I've seen agents really use this for pre-foreclosures or people that are in foreclosure to do a short sale. It says, dear homeowner, I'm not going to read the whole letter, just the first paragraph, you get an idea. Dear homeowner, do you need to sell your home quickly? We can help. We have investors who purchase several houses per month, houses like yours in neighborhoods just like yours in every part of the country. And so it's a great mailing out letter. Now, as far as the letter, so that's it on the magazine. Another set of letters that you guys should really look at, Janet, especially if you want to. Janet, do you have any plans to do, you know, more FSBOs, or you just want to stick with the expires?
Can you hear me, Carol?
Yes, Janet, I can. No, Janet, I did hear you, and I think you just muted yourself.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
No, not really. I just have enough to do.
You have enough to do, so you just want to stick with the
expires. With
expired,
yeah.
Okay, good.
Pardon me?
I said, no, I said, okay, good. For those of you that want to work on the FSBOs, let's what I recommend you do, not only the dialogue that I have for you that's on the website, but also there's letters on the Power Program website that you can send out to FSBOs. Janet, for you, you might be interested, there's actually expired letters that you can send out. If you have any expireds that you couldn't get in the door, you couldn't get them on the phone, you couldn't find the phone number, anything like that, or a follow-up, there's a series of letters that you can use for expireds in the website you might be interested in, okay? Janet, you mute yourself again? Okay, there you go. Okay, so did you hear that about the letters?
Uh-huh, thank
All
you.
Right, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. So, Janet, do you mind if I role-play with you because you seem to be the most interactive? Anybody wants to interrupt at any time, please do so. Is that all right if I role-play with you?
Sure.
Is that a, I heard a pause. I'll do the hard part, okay? I'll do the hard part. You do the easy part, which is that you would be an expired. All
okay.
Right, so I'm gonna be the agent. I'm gonna be calling you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So hi, may I speak with Janet, please?
Speaking.
Yeah, Janet. Hi, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. How are you?
Fine.
Good. Janet, the reason why I was calling is I noticed your house expired off the multiple listing service, and I was wondering, is the house still for sale?
Well, you know what? It was for sale, but it's not longer listed.
I see. Okay. Did you sell the house? Or?
No, we just decided to wait because the market will get better eventually.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you wanted to sell, but it didn't sell. So now you want to wait till the market gets better?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at a copy of the multiple listing. I'm actually a little surprised that it didn't sell. Do you have any thoughts as to why you think it didn't?
Well, I don't know. Did you actually look at the house when you were seeing it in the multiple listing?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance while you had it listed to actually see the property. But looking at the printout from everything that I can see that your other agent put in there, it sounds really nice.
Well, it is.
Yeah. Where were you thinking of moving to if you had sold the house?
Well, we were probably going to just move out to the country.
Okay. Did you have a house that you had in mind out there? Or?
No, my husband just fell in love with some horses that he'd like to buy, and we thought, well, eventually we would move. But right now, it's not that great of a market here, and so we know we couldn't get what we have put into the house worthwise.
I see. How long have you lived in this house, Janet?
Gosh, we've been here about 20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. But you said you put a lot of money into it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our house is updated to the top.
Yeah, I can see it. You've got new hardwood floors, and you added skylight and the extension on the property. Yeah, it sounds really, really nice. What price range were you looking in if you were going to make this move out to the country?
Well, I don't know. We just found the horses. We haven't found the farm or ranch yet, but we just found the horses. But it would probably be around $500,000.
Okay, all right. Well, let me ask you this, Janet. If I could help you sell this house with the monies that you need to make the move successful, would you be interested in selling again?
If you could, you know, show me proof that can happen, sure.
Well, we're starting to. Well, the good thing is you said the market, you're waiting for the market to get better. We're actually, that seems to be happening now since the election's been over and since the fiscal cliff has been averted, and we're seeing a lot of great activity right now. And again, from what I can see from your house, it sounds like a really nice house, and maybe there is something I can do to help you with this. Would you be offended if I came by just to see the house and see what you have?
Oh, no. You're welcome to stop over.
Okay, great. And then at this point, what I would do is schedule the appointment. Janet, let me ask you, when you make your calls, do you do something like this or do something totally different? Or?
No, I just follow the old expired listing scripts that I've had for years and just updated them a little bit.
Okay, good. What I find works really well is doing that, making sure that you're getting clear about why people are selling, what was their ultimate commitment as to why they're selling. And so that's the dialogue that we do or that I have on the website for you guys. Thanks for that, Janet. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I'm not gonna burden you anymore with role play. all right. So let me address for everybody. There's one of our power agents. I don't know if he's on the call. Jay, are you on the call with us?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Okay, good to hear from you.
All right, good. Well, listen, good to hear from you. I really appreciate your email last night. I had no idea what the heck you were saying when you emailed me.
You know, it's something you mentioned in the seminar and also on the CD, but I still couldn't figure out, when it comes to math, I break out in a sweat, I think.
Well, that's, I don't know. I think like 80% of the realtors, when it comes to math, we have a real challenge with that, which I guess because we're expressive too, and like we love houses and we love the external stuff, so and we're not analytical, I guess, in nature. All right, so Jay, let me go over this with you. By the way, Jay, just tell everybody, where are you from? What city and what company are you in?
It's a suburb called Great Neck outside of New York City, and with Keller Williams.
Okay. So he's a fellow New Yorker gang, and so, Jay, I'm going to go through this math with you, and the numbers are going to be the initial numbers are low. Like I pre-wrote these down before the call because I didn't want to try and figure it out on the phone call. So I went with the lowest number, which means I'm going to use $3,000 because we have some people on the call that might be the income that they get when a listing sells. So everybody, I want you to follow the math with me. And by the way, here's what Jay's question was. I apologize. Let me start with that. Jay emailed me, said, would you kindly review how each call, even hang-ups, earned me $45? I was absent from math class that day. So Thanks for the little humor there, Jay. So here is Jay's question. It was what I've said before in seminars and I've said in my training course is that if you were to take a listing and that listing sells, you're going to make X amount of dollars after the broker takes their piece and the selling office takes their piece. So just looking at the listing sold side that you would bring to the bank and put into your bank account, I'm going to use the low, low number of $3,000. So every listing you get is worth $3,000 if every listing you got sold. Now, that's not the case. So let's use 75% as an example. So let's say of every listing you get, 75% will sell, 25% won't. So we take that $3,000, we're going to reduce the value of $3,000 by 75%. Jay, are you with me on this so far?
Yes, sir.
All right. So that means, actually, Jay, every listing you get is worth $2,250, not $3,000.
Right.
Okay. Now, the next question is, and this is something that we all have to figure out what our batting average is. It's now, I'm not into sports, but I think part of being a speaker, you have to use sports analogies for some reason. So I'm going to use a sports analogy, which is in baseball, baseball players have stats, RBIs and RB something else or other. And they, based on their performance, that number is the average of their performance. So realtors have an RBI when it comes to prospecting and getting listings. So in this scenario, like Jay, I would ask you, every time you go on a listing appointment, do you get every single listing you go after, including physicals and expired? No. Okay. So how many listing appointments, Jay, would you say you'd have to go on to get one listing? Keeping in mind...
I'd say five.
You'd say five. Okay, good. Now, again, keep in mind, some of you, if you do a lot of referral business, that kind of skews the numbers because a referral is somebody who's actually reaching out to you or their friend likes you. So you're walking into an already friendly situation, and your numbers are going to be a lot higher. So you have to take everything, your referrals, your physicals, your expired, you put them in. So Jay came up with five. So here's what I'm going to do, Jay. I'm going to take that $2,250. That is how much the listing was reduced by because 75% sell. $3,000
right.
Commission, 75%, all right, $2,250. So I'm going to take the $2,250 and divide it by five appointments. I go on five appointments, I'm going to get that $2,250. Are you with me so far?
All right.
So now what does that mean? That means that every appointment that I go on, Jay, is actually worth $450 because that's what take $2,250 divided by 5 comes out to $450. Do you got that?
Yes.
Every appointment you go on is worth $450. Now, the question is, how many calls do you have to make, Jay, to get one listing appointment? So I'm asking
I think, you that question. Wait, one second. I think about 12.
Okay. So that's a really high number, and we're going to just make the math a little bit easier, okay? Let's do the number 10. Now, when I mean high, Jay, you got to forgive me, man. Have you taken my three-day training class, your results?
Yeah, but I'm brand new, so that was great. I got your book, which is fantastic. I listened to CDs, which are great.
Awesome. Mm. All right, Jay, listen, here's what I want you to do. By the way, let me pause this, what we're talking about, because when you tell me 12, this now becomes urgent for me to say something to you. So I'm going off this conversation that we were just having just for a second, okay? I'm doing, for those of you that are from Long Island, New Jersey, Illinois, and Wisconsin, I'm doing some live events in those cities or in those states in January. And if you want to get the dates and information, go to this website I'll give you, 2013kickoff.com. So that's the year, www.2013, Kickoff, KICKOFF.com. It's all one word. There's no dashes. Now, Jay, in Long Island, I'm going to be in at the Sheridan in Sheridan Smithtown, okay, on January 29th. And at that seminar, I'm going to kick off the three-day sure results, which is going to be in February. And as a past student, you pay a big discount, okay, Jay?
Yeah, sounds good.
You may want to come back to get back on track so you can make your calls and get better at
okay.
it. Okay. All right. For the price that you pay, I think you have to take it, okay? Because I got to get your numbers up, all right? 12 is pretty high. You know.
It's all expired in FSBO, and I don't have to tell you, on Long Island, you get a lot of hang-ups. That's why I asked about this math question.
All right. Well, you know, all right. Let's talk. Let's go back to this math question. And by the way, I'm going to help you with those hang-ups in the class. Okay. We'll see if we can talk about it now for a second. But if you talk to Jay, so if you're saying 12, which includes your hang-ups, that doesn't count. It has to be somebody that at least answers the phone, and you have at least some kind of conversation that lasts maybe more than 30 seconds. Okay.
Okay.
So they rush you off the phone really quick. I don't know if it's 30 seconds, all right? I'd have to actually time it. But if they just answer the phone, they say, I'm not interested, thank you, click, that doesn't count.
Right.
I'm talking about, let's use the number 10. So
yeah,
you've got
okay.
somebody on the phone, and they talk to you for just maybe a few seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds. That would count as one of the calls. If we take the number 10 and we divide it into that $450, Jay. That
right.
means every phone call that you make is worth $45. Do you see the math?
Man, you did it. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So
that's
if,
great.
If you so now everybody, here's the point. The point is every phone call that you make is worth $45, whether you get the appointment or not. And that's the real important thing that you all have to remember. See, let me just say something. This is probably more important than the dialogue. And Janet was great when she said about what Steve Murray said about our mindset. When it comes to building your business and getting listings especially, and even more so when you don't consider yourself a listing agent or a prospector, it's almost like a diet. When you go on a diet, you start to do new activities that you're not used to doing. So as you're doing these new activities, there's a couple of things that are happening to us. Number one is we're not eating the sweets and the milk and the thing and all the bad stuff that makes us heavy. So we're having some anxiety because the habit is I want to do that. So number one is you're fighting the bad habit. The second thing is you're trying to create a new habit. And that new habit is uncomfortable. So you've got two things that are making you uncomfortable: getting rid of something that you like to do, and then doing something that you don't want to do, but you know it's important. There is a huge battle when you're going on a diet because of those two things. Becoming a listing agent and prospecting is the same exact thing when you're not used to doing it. You have to first take time away from doing the busy stuff that may not be productive, but you kind of like doing it. You like doing it for so many reasons that we don't even need to talk about it. But you like doing it, so the first thing is you've got to stop doing the things that you like to do that aren't really making you money. And then the second part of that prospecting diet is now you've got to do a new activity like eating vegetables or whatever, and that's calling FSBOs and expireds. And that's uncomfortable.
Right.
But what happens with any diet is that you start to transform your habits. You start to transform. All of a sudden, you like eating healthy. Things start to taste better, et cetera, et cetera. The same thing happens here with the prospecting. So what you have to do is commit, Jay, not just you, but everybody on the call, you have to commit to the activity, not the result. If you commit to the activity, eventually the results will come. Let's go back to the diet thing. When people say they want to lose weight and they're going to start eating three meals a day with maybe two snacks, they're going to eat five times a day to keep their metabolism up, so they're going to eat a little healthy thing, a salad over here. And as you're doing that, there's, let's say you go through a week or 2 weeks of doing that, and you didn't lose 20 pounds. We get frustrated because we're going through all this pain, and we're not seeing enough results for the pain that we're investing. But if you stay committed to the activity and forget the result, before you know it, in a couple of months, 3 months down the road, all of a sudden, you're down a couple of sizes. Is this making sense, Jay, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to go on a diet, too. Can you imagine?
Yeah. So the same is true about prospecting. So what you're going to do is you're going to start making calls, just like you're going to eat a healthy meal. And it's like, well, yeah, that was good, but I'm still hungry. Or, yeah, I know that was good for me, but I didn't enjoy it as much as if I had some cake with it. Right? But you've got to keep doing it. It's the same thing with the prospect. If you just keep doing what you don't like doing, but you know it's the right thing to do, eventually you're going to not only start to like it, but you're going to start to see results. Okay? So what everybody's got to do, I'm going to give a couple of suggestions to help you guys stay focused on this whole prospecting thing. Number one is you may want to, first of all, you need to commit to it days of the week and times. This is very important. What days, what time are you going to commit that you're going to hit the prospecting gym? It's the same. I could do the same analogy about going to the gym. You go to the gym, you don't want to go to the gym, you got to get dressed, you work out, you're sweaty, you're tired, you don't want to do the gym. But eventually, the gym is going to help you to lose weight. So let's say you go to the prospecting gym and you're going to go into your office or into your car with your cell phone, whatever place will empower you, into your home office on Sunday, Mondays, Tuesdays, and you're going to start making some calls six to eight, whatever you block out as far as time. That's one option of what you can do. The second option you can do is do it with a partner. So, Jay, do you work out at the gym?
Yes.
You do? Okay. So how many days a week do you go?
4 days.
Okay, well, good for you, Jay. See, Jay, I don't like going to the gym. So if I were going to commit to going to the gym by myself, I probably would, you know, hit the snooze alarm. But if I know that you're going to be at my house at 6 o'clock in the morning ringing my doorbell, I'm probably going to drag my butt out of bed because I know you're going to ring my doorbell. You with me?
Right.
So what some of us may have to do is buddy up with somebody, not to share listings, not to share revenue, not to share your business, but just to commit to each other like a spa partner, and that you're going to go prospect at certain days of the week at certain times together. That's the second option you could do. And I'm going to give you a third option, and this is an option that I've been doing, and it's been working really well for me. See, I like to prospect, but it's hard for me to get going. And the reason why it's hard for me to get going is because I do have other priorities, but this is important too. So here's something that I figured out for me, Jay, and it's been working really, really well, is that I make a promise to myself. Well, I actually have a software that keeps track of my to-dos. And in my to-dos, it always tells me, just make 2 prospecting calls a day. That's it. If I do nothing else, at least squeeze in 2 phone calls every single day. And so what I do is I do that in the morning, or at least not always, but for the most part, I try and get that done in the morning. And I can always usually get 2 calls in a day. And what starts to happen is that, you know what, I had some success, let me make a third or fourth call. So some days I'll make a couple of more calls because of the success I had on the first two. But the point is every day I'm shaking the trees. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
Okay, so here's the plan that I suggest that we all do. Let me just take a look at something. Here's a couple of things I suggest. Number one is make sure you have a list of what you want to accomplish in the first quarter. It doesn't have to be a big, important business plan. Just have 4, 5, 6 things that you really want to implement into your business, your career. Number two is part of that should be definitely getting listings. Number three is that some of you need to get organized with your prospecting efforts. If you're not organized in how you're keeping track of your leads, keeping track of your conversations, keeping track of the appointments you go on, before you know it, you're going to fail before you even start. Because once you start making a couple of calls, you start getting confused that I talked to this person. So have something that will keep you focused on prospecting. Jay, are you using Red X?
Yes, Red X.
All right, good. And the last thing is improve your listing appointment. Look at your book and look at what you're doing to go on a listing. Make sure you have a really tight listing conversation so that way you feel good about going on your listing appointments and prospecting. Okay. So we're just now at the end of our call. Does anybody have any questions before I end our call? Any questions? Okay. Janet, listen, thank you for being my role play partner on this call. You were really awesome, and thank you for your contribution, Janet.
My pleasure.
Yeah, you were awesome. Jay, thank you for your question. I really appreciate it. Did that help you, by the way, Jay?
Yeah, no, I think it's good for anyone because, you know, when you get hung up, it's a little sad. But if it's, like you said, if your wife gave you a check of $45 every time, you know, that's really encouraging. So I'll keep that up.
Yeah, please do that, Jay, because that's what it is, man. It's RBIs or RB whatever that is. This is your batting. Don't get hooked by the results. Every call you make is worth $45, whether you get the appointment or not, Jay. If you talk to the person for just a few seconds, you just made $45, okay?
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
All right, awesome. Make sure you come January 29th. I want to see you, all right?
Yeah, I signed up. I thought it was Hot Dog, but I'll check all that stuff.
Well, it says Sheridan. It used to be called Sheridan Smithtown. Then they changed it to Sheridan Long Island. But you're right. It is in Hopog right there, exit.
Oh, good. Okay. That's great.
Yeah, you're right. Good. Make sure you come up to me, all right, and say hi.
Yes, sir.
All right, gang. Listen, go out there, make a difference. Don't forget what we do is we don't just help people, you know, buy and sell real estate. We actually help people get to their next level in their life because real estate is the next level for people, whether they're buying or selling. So the more people you help, the more money you make. So go help a lot of people because they need us more now than ever. So go help them. All right, gang, thank you very much. God bless you. Talk to you soon. And keep smiling. Don't forget to smile, everybody. All right, thank you.
All
right, bye-bye.